Hello, I'm Chris Satula, and welcome to That's History, our regular segment where we discuss current events and their echoes, parallels, and lessons from history. I'm joined, as always, by Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University. Hi, Jonathan.
Good to be here, as always.
So the 4th of July is coming up, John, pretty soon, on Friday. So the history of the celebration of July 4th, always fireworks, hot dogs, and celebration?
Yes, lots of revelry. Lots of what we would call partying, but also in the 19th century, lots of really critical discussion, lots of critique of the country and whether it's actually fulfilling the ideals that we trumpet on July 4th.
So the holiday was not just celebratory, but aspirational as well, and that left some room for people to say, are we living up to our aspirations?
Hugely so. And this was an enormous tradition in 19th century oratory focused very much on the 4th of July. The kind of now iconic example is Frederick Douglass's speech in Rochester, New York in 1852 on, of course, the 4th of July. Since it is, to my reading, the most beautiful piece of American literature, I hope it's okay if I read a couple of lines of it.
Go ahead.
What Douglass said was, "What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him, more than any other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity, your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless, your denunciation of tyrants brass-fronted impudence, your shouts of liberty and equality hollow mockery, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy."
Okay, and the reception to that was, I know in some quarters he was a rock star for saying things like that, but generally speaking?
Well, I mean, obviously abolitionists were vilified all over the American South and also in points, at points in the American North as well. This was hardly a majority opinion. I think the point, though, is that Douglass used the 4th of July to critique injustice within the United States. So did women like Susan B. Anthony, who gave speeches on the 4th of July. So did laborers in the burgeoning working class, and so did Native Americans. For all of them, the 4th of July was a time not just of celebration, but of protest.
Were abolitionists successful anyway they sort of leveraged the Liberty Bell very effectively as an icon and symbol. Were they able to use July 4th to really further their cause?
Well, at times. I mean, I think one measure of the effectiveness is that Douglass's speech itself was banned all over the American South because it was, again, so powerful in its critique of slavery and the contradiction between slavery and the ideals of the country.
So July 4th in the 19th century brought about a number of oratorical fireworks that still sort of explode in the brain when you hear them. But how did fireworks themselves, the things that go boom and light up the night, end up getting associated with the holiday?
Well, fireworks, of course, were invented many thousands of years earlier in China. And we did have fireworks in the United States really since the beginning of the United States. But they started to be mass-produced in the late 19th century, and they became much easier to acquire, much more inexpensive. And the other thing that happened to the 4th of July is it became less overtly political. That is, the kind of oratory that we associate with Frederick Douglass or Susan B. Anthony, we see much less of. This is the time of giant waves of immigration into the United States. And a lot of these newcomers wanted to use the 4th of July to establish their bona fides as Americans. So on the 4th of July, Polish Americans had big parades in honor of Thaddeus Kosciuszko, who was a Polish nobleman that assisted the revolution. And the Germans celebrated DeKalb, and the Irish celebrated Richard Montgomery. African Americans celebrated Crispus Attucks, and the Jews celebrated Haim Solomon, a son of Philadelphia. And these were all ways, of course, of reading yourself into the national story, but they weren't critical. In fact, what they were doing was embracing the national story and instead of, like Frederick Douglass, arguing that we weren't a part of it, actually reading ourselves into it. So the day became less critical. It became much more celebratory, and fireworks were an enormous part of that. Setting off a firecracker was a way to show your Americanness and a way to show that you were sympathetic with the spirit of the holiday.
So as we go into the 20th century now to the current day, how do you see the holiday and its observance evolving? Do you think it's drained of that other strain of critique and aspiration that you see in the 19th?
Very much so. I mean, I think, again, that began about 100 years ago. And the only time you hear about the 4th of July in the newspaper is when there's an accident involving a firecracker. Mm-hmm. You hear very little of those rhetorical flourishes that we associate with the 19th century. What you hear is a medical association or another safety group talking about how many people did incredibly stupid things involving fireworks, which incidentally are very dangerous and lethal objects. The danger of fireworks, in fact, created a whole social movement in the early 20th century called the Safe and Sane 4th of July. And these were kind of what we call goo-goos, good government people who recognized the danger of fireworks and tried to get people to either not use them or to use them in more in safer ways. I suppose one could argue that that's a kind of politics, but I would argue that it's a fairly narrow one compared to what preceded it.
And so now, to a degree, and I know you live in Narberth, which is a place where one of the most Rockwellian all-American July 4th celebrations happens, a huge community picnic out at the park with fireworks. That's pretty much what it's involved to now. It's a gathering, it's a sense of community, but there's not a lot of political thought beneath it.
Yeah, and look, there's nothing wrong with it. Obviously, there was plenty, again, of revelry and community in the 19th century as well. But what it's become is only that, you know, a time for, well, not just fireworks, but drink and food and family and community. This is all great. It's all laudable. But I think what's missing is the call to move us closer to the original ideals of the country, which is really what motivated the early 4th of July rhetoric.
That's Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University, joining us to discuss That's History. Pleasure as always, John.
Thanks. It was fun.